Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the weak-minded. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Infowars.com has been reporting on election fraud and the Democrats stealing election for a long, long time. But just like everything else, InfoWars is tomorrow's news today. And now, in front of your face, in front of your eyes, they're trying to steal the election in Florida. Here's John Bowne with the latest reports.
The home of oranges and recounts. In the Florida Senate race between Republican Rick Scott and Democrat incumbent Bill Nelson, the margin was close enough to warrant a hand recount.
In Palm Beach County, there are 15,000 new votes found since election night. So it has been over 48 hours since the polls closed, and Broward and Palm Beach counties are still finding and counting ballots. And the supervisors, Brenda Snipes and Susan Booker, could not seem to say how many ballots still exist and where these ballots came from or where they have been. The people of Florida deserve fairness and transparency, and the supervisors are failing to give it to us. Every Floridian should be concerned there may be rampant fraud happening in Palm Beach and Broward counties. And the Broward Supervisor of Elections, Brenda Snipes, has a history of acting in absolute bad faith.
While the governor's race triggered a machine recount between Republican Ron DeSantis over Democratic nominee Andrew Gillum, while Democrat Nikki Fried led Republican Matt Caldwell by a handful of votes in the race for Agriculture Commissioner. Meanwhile, as trucks continued to pull up, Brenda Snipes, the Broward County Supervisor of Elections since 2003, was at the center of the Broward County election fraud spectacle, and she couldn't come up with any answers.
Can you just update us where things are on the count right now? Just in general.
Could I please get a moment to go into the room and find out?
Sure.
Okay. When I come back, I'll let you know.
But Dr. Snipes, it is now Thursday. Mm-hmm. We are still counting ballots in Broward County.
5 pages or 6 pages for each of the people who voted.
But other counties have been able to do it.
But other counties didn't have 600,000 votes out there.
Well, Miami-Dade did.
Well, have you been inside Miami? Never mind. Let me go check. I'll check.
Why is she done for the moment? We'd like to know how many votes are outstanding.
Vote stealing tactics in Texas and Louisiana and certain precincts of New Jersey. Where it, and certainly in Miami-Dade County, where it has been a way of life, I have never seen anything as brazen, as outrageous, as one-sided as the process as it's going on in Broward County.
Keep an eye on Snipes. She loves to violate election law, as the Sun Sentinel reported. A court ruled she had broken election law when she destroyed ballots from the 2016 election 12 months after it, instead of the 22 months required by federal law. Election results in the 2016 primary were posted on the election office's website before polls closed, another violation of election law. And in 2012, almost 1,000 uncounted ballots were discovered a week after the election. In 2004, some 58,000 mail-in ballots were not delivered to voters. And now, Snipes won't even explain, with regular updates required by law to be reported to the state every 45 minutes, and has withheld how many votes are still to be counted. It makes the average citizen wonder, why do we have election laws in the first place? John Bowne reporting.
This vision of France as a generous nation with a vision which carries universal values has been...
All right, there's Macron sticking his greedy nose into our business where he's not wanted. He was not wanted. I want to be clear, Macron was not wanted in there. But as usual, little Macron sticks his beak in our business where it doesn't belong. But seriously, the election fraud is real. The theft of the election is real. We've got updates on it. It's just unbelievable what they're pulling in Florida. battle for the Republic, ladies and gentlemen. It is the fight for the future and controlling your own destiny. And we're smack dab in the middle of it on this Monday, November 12th, 2018. Just flying through time. The midterm elections are now in the rearview mirror. And as we put the midterms in our rearview mirror, we're looking out the side of the window and we're just seeing massive election theft. I mean, they're not even hiding it anymore. Now, we are observing Veterans Day today, and because of that, we're going to have some great veterans on air with us. Matt Bracken is going to join us at 3:30 from enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Bracken. Oh, wait. What's that? Okay, Matt Bracken is now banned from Twitter. Yes, okay, so yeah, that's good. Make sure you ban a veteran a top-selling author. You know, make sure you ban him. He's no good. So we'll accept him here, though. Craig Sawyer joins me at 5 o'clock here, vetsforchildrescue.org. He's actually got a story that he's kind of been waiting to talk about. And, you know, really, it's just more, it's kind of a behind-the-scenes look at just whenever you actually are on the front lines of fighting evil, how they just come after you in the most unbelievable ways. And then it's like impossible to even find good help because so many people either stab you in the back or just don't do what they're supposed to do. So he's going to be talking about that. But really, it's all about the veterans. And that's why we're getting their opinions on here today. But I'm sure Matt's going to want to talk about getting banned from Twitter, and Craig with his work at Vets for Child Rescue and the documentary they're putting together that's just continuing to have to leap through, flaming hula hoops. So we're going to have all that. Plus, I was just going through the video list. I put some videos in there today. Actually, I had to put some in the folder for tomorrow because I knew I wouldn't even have time for them today. And it's just crazy video clips. This election theft in Florida is just rampant, folks. So all kinds of news. The wildfire in California that I'm not calling a wildfire. I think it's an act of terror, quite frankly. But I guess that's my unpopular opinion that nobody wants to talk about. And then there's some other developments going on. But let's just jump off and get right into this voter fraud. Now, I've been telling you, I mean, you know, InfoWars is such tomorrow's news today. And it's not like, again, it's not like I wish people would say, oh my gosh, look at InfoWars. Oh, like fawn over us. No, I just wish people would get it. I wish people on our side would quit telling people, don't associate with InfoWars. You just don't do that. No, you just don't associate. You know, young and up-and-coming people on the conservative side, they try to bully them out of talking to us. And I get it, and that's fine. But it's like, do you get it? Like, we're trying to win. Like, it's fine. We will lob every alley-oop for every other conservative media out there to slam home. I don't even care about the credit. But it's the same crap every time. And it's like, if you would just believe us from the beginning, instead of sitting on your hands because it was reported by InfoWars, maybe we could actually stop some of this stuff. But they never want to listen to the conspiracy theorists at InfoWars. So, just like we told you, I mean, Roger Stone literally told you to the exact district and how they were going to do it in Florida. But here's my big issue. While they've been getting away with this in Florida, so finally the people in Florida have said, okay, we've had enough. We're going to stop this election theft from happening again. So people in Florida are finally fighting back. They might not get away with it in Florida. Snipes may be going to jail and others. But I'm going to tell you now. There are, I think it's like 13 other House seats. In fact, I'm just going to go down the list and I'm going to get more into detail with this tomorrow. We're going to have two election experts on to talk about this tomorrow. But I have to, again, report this because the number of seats in the House that the Democrats have successfully stolen has just gone up. So I'm going to put this out there, and then we're going to show you these clips of this election theft going on. Here are the House seats the Democrats have successfully stolen. California House seat 10, 25, and 48, and they're currently working on stealing 45 and 39 right now. Utah House seat number 4. New Mexico House seat number 2, Maine seat number 2, New Jersey seat 3, Florida seat 26, Iowa seat 3, Oklahoma seat 5, South Carolina seat 1, Virginia seats 2 and 7, and New York seats 19 and 22. So what is that? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 seats in the House stolen by the Democrats, and they're going to take two more in California. Okay, well, we know the Democrats steal elections. It's old news. We expected it. Roger Stone predicted it. He bet me a steak dinner. But why don't we raise the same amount of fuss for those House seats that we're raising for the Senate seat? Well, because they're getting away with it right in front of our face in Florida, and they continue to do it, and the Senate seat's bigger than the House seat. But you have to understand, the Democrats won the House by stealing it. So the Democrats will have the majority in the House, but that's only because they stole minimum 15 seats in the House. And when it all boils down and they finally put the final House numbers on it, you will know the Democrats stole the House. Because those 15 seats, should they have gone to the Republican who actually won it, would flip the House back Republican, and any stalling tactics the Democrats can do in the House wouldn't work. So that's why they did it. Now they're trying to steal two House seats in the Senate so that they can blackmail two Republicans and totally stall the vote. That's the Democrats in this country. And again, we reported this before it happened. And there's other tomorrow's news today that we can get into as well. So the recount's happening in Florida, or is it? And then, you know, we'll find out. Oh, yeah, and Stacey Abrams, she'll probably get 5 million votes overnight. She won in a landslide. It's unbelievable. But let's go now, because the people in Florida are actually trying to stop this. Here's a video from Jacob Engels getting denied access to discovery of provisional ballots. These people are literally outside watching them truck in provisional ballots.
What's your question?
So we're media trying to get in, and
I couldn't hear you.
We're media trying to get in to cover this.
Media?
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Right now, I really don't know. Can't tell you.
I don't know.
There's the command post. You got to contact BSO.
Broward Sheriff's Office, Scott Israel.
Is it a bomb threat right now?
I don't know. You have to continue. Like, can't park here.
It's officially closed for 1 to 2 hours?
Minutes, but they're saying maybe 1 to 2 hours.
Yeah, there's like, 12 semi-trucks full of ballots coming in. Officer, do you think we could maybe go film that? Yeah, I don't know about that. You'll have to go check the sheriff's office. Oh, you mean the corrupt sheriff that doesn't allow media's press conferences? Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Oh, you mean the sheriff's office that stood down on the guy that went in and killed 18 teenagers at the school? Yeah, that's the one. You got to go talk to him about it. Oh, you mean the guy that hangs out with Hillary Clinton and the Democrats and lets them get away with the crime? Yeah, you'll have to ask him about that. I don't know. I don't know about these ballots coming in. You know, I'm just here to keep media out. Okay. So they actually had a minute to ask Brenda Snipes what's going on about this. And Brenda Snipes gives the same answer. She says, clip 11, she says, oh, I don't know.
Things are on the count right now. Just in general.
Could I please get a moment to go into the room and find out?
Sure.
Okay. When I come back,
I don't know anything. It is now Thursday. Mm-hmm. We are still counting ballots in Broward County.
5 pages or 6 pages for each of the people who voted.
But other counties
still got ballots coming in.
But other counties didn't have 600,000 votes out there.
Well, maybe they did.
Well, have
so she tells you.
Never mind. Let me go check. I'll check.
But it's a serious issue. It always
it's
seems like it is.
It's a serious issue with me. I've been doing
you
this.
You are a cold-blooded thief, woman.
Second.
But if it's a serious issue with you.
We ran 22 sites. We ran 14 days. We ran 2.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Pause it. Okay. You know what? This is just so unbelievable. She's sitting here telling you how she stole it. She's like, yeah, we just brought in 600 ballots. We're monitoring 22 polling locations. She's out here just telling you how she stole it. This is just unbelievable. All right, and then she got confronted. Just roll clip 12 on the outset here, guys. Here's confronted by Laura Loomer.
Do you really think you're qualified to be overseeing this, given that you destroyed ballots in the race between Canova and Wasserman Schultz? A judge found that you destroyed ballots. Do you think that you're qualified to be overseeing an election?
She just says, she just arrogantly waves by and then goes and hides. Miss Snipes, you're on the board of elections here. You've been stealing elections for years. What's going on? I don't know. I got to go check. I don't know. I told them to bring in 600,000 ballots, but they're not letting me. What's going on here?
Infowars.com/show.
get back into the election steal in Florida with Roger Stone when he joins me in the second hour. And it's just like we have to just blast through. We don't have time to take a pit stop and actually recount all the things we've done. Like this weekend, I had this Stop Government Funding of Planned Parenthood rally in South Austin. Hundreds of people showed up. Great event. I've already got another one I'm working on planning. Going to be even bigger. And I've got some other things. You know, I just figure if you're going to take a stand for anything, innocent lives are probably a good thing to take a stand for. And it's not some manufactured thing where you act like you're protecting innocent lives in some cause celeb virtue signal, social justice warrior. It's no, they're taking money out of our pockets and funding abortion, which is going to be looked back on someday, probably in the near future, 50 to 100 years, the genocide of abortion that we've done here in the West is going to be looked at as one of the greatest atrocities against humanity ever on this planet. It will be. You watch. And I figure that's the time that's going to come. Why not be on the right side of history and stand up for those innocent unborn lives? So we had hundreds of people come out. And I'll just say it now. We're already working on another event. It's going to be late next May. And I'll just tell you, if you're interested, if you have a group, if you're with a church, if you're with a school, whatever it is, if you're interested, specifically here in Texas, because maybe I can at least fight on a local level, if you're interested in stopping the government funding of Planned Parenthood, send me an email, infowarsarmy@infowars.com, and I'm organized. I already got four groups wanting to organize. We had over 100 people out at this one. I'm going to have 200, 500, 1,000 people. And let's see if the coward media in Austin, Texas, will cover hundreds of people rallying against the government funding of abortion, where Planned Parenthood gets to rent their building for $1, a building that's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars in rent. They get it for $1. Well, I think people in Texas are fed up with that. And nobody in Texas's media ever covers hundreds of Texans rallying against government funding of Planned Parenthood. So that's fine. So you'll ignore hundreds. We'll bring out thousands. And so that's just what we'll have to do. So that's just another thing that we're working on here. I got all of these video clips. You know, let's just get into this news out in California. I mean, you have the Camp Fire burning down paradise. No, that's not from a novel. That's the story. Camp Fire is currently burning down paradise. And now the death toll has grown to 29. Matching the state's deadliest. There's still like 200 people missing, folks. So it's going to eclipse that. It's not good. Death toll rises in California, matching its deadliest. Yeah, still hundreds missing. It's going to be its deadliest when it's all said and done. And it's just raging. And then you have the governor, Jerry Brown. This guy's, I mean, it's just the unmitigated nerve of these leaders of California to point the finger at anybody else while their state literally burns to the ground. And their cities are literally covered in human poop. And then they sit here and virtue signal and point the finger at everyone else. No, you guys are the ones that are literally crapping and burning California to the ground. And yeah, Jerry Brown, that's on you. But Jerry Brown comes out and says it's climate change deniers are the ones to blame for the abnormal amount of wildfires happening. Climate change deniers. Really, Jerry? Tell me, how does that start a fire? In fact, I'll tell you what. If every climate change denier in California came out and said, you know what? There is climate change. Guess what? The fire would still be raging. But see, Jerry Brown thinks you're so stupid that you're going to say, yep, this is clearly climate change denier's fault that it's burning to the ground. Oh, yeah. It's not the California government's fault for writing all these laws and regulations like Barbara Boxer. You realize that Barbara Boxer, former senator, just a goddess of the Democrat Party, a goddess of the progressive left. Oh, Barbara Boxer. This woman wrote more legislation to protect wildlife in California, and she's gone now. But I guarantee you, she probably wrote all the legislation that keeps the back burning, keeps the brush clearing, keeps all of it out, that actually keeps California safe from these wildfires, keeps the neighborhoods safe from these wildfires. That's all Barbara Boxer's doing because she loves the earth as it burns to the ground. And then Jerry Brown, who the Russians invented a brand new aircraft that is 10 times more effective in dealing with wildfires. It has a larger carrying capacity. It has a more effective dump rate. So it's got all of these advantages to the current aircraft that they're using in California. The Russians said, hey, we can get you a good deal on this. 10 times more effective. Jerry Brown said, nope, I'm good. I'm good. I prefer to watch my state burn to the ground, baby. So Jerry Brown burns California to the ground, and then he blames you. What a piece of trash. And, oh, it's just so convenient, too, that the Pope comes out, over the weekend and says, yep, these, you know, people that deny climate change, they're the biggest threat to world. They're the biggest threat to Earth. You know, ignore all the pedophiles in the Catholic Church, though. Just ignore all the secret history that we have buried underneath the Vatican, too, you know. Ignore all that. We're not a threat. We rape kids, you know. And we find any historical artifacts that may change the history of mankind, and we bury it in our basement because we don't want you to know. But don't worry about us. You see, you're the one that's the biggest threat to the earth. That says the Pope. And Mad Maxines tells President Trump that he needs to keep his mouth shut over the California wildfires. Well, you know what? Maybe that's fine, Maxine, but you're the leader of California who has been in office for, what, 2-3 decades? That seen your state burn to the ground. And I want to be clear here. I'm not celebrating this in any way. I'm not. So before they write that story, although they'll write it anyway. But basically, you have a bunch of Hollywood stars. I won't even say their names, but you've got dozens of Hollywood stars, actresses, singers, you know, the whole thing, and all their houses are burning to the ground. And look, this is biblical, folks. Everything you're witnessing is biblical. What's going on in the Gaza Strip right now, which I may get to later, really makes you scratch your head, doesn't it? That's if you have a conscience. But you better believe that California and the fallen angels and the stars burning to the ground right now, because you look at all the moral decay. Honestly, worldwide, you look at the moral decay, you look at the lust for violence and sex and blood and just disgust, it all came from Hollywood. It all came from Hollywood. So even though you can directly blame the California government and the people that have been at the helm of that state for these wildfires, they're the one to blame. You also have to realize that this is all part of God's plan. This is all part of God's plan. And when Hollywood and California decided to become the pit of immorality, then they also think they're going to be immortal, too. But that's a whole other thing. When California and Hollywood became the conduit to spread all of the disgust, to spread all of the filth, to spread all the propaganda, the sex, the violence, all of it, they marked themselves on God's map to be burned to the ground. It's biblical. But they also did it to themselves with their own government.
War Room. Infowars.com/show. Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Matt Bracken is joining me now, enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. You can find his books there as well. You can follow his content on Twitter at MattBracken48. Oh, wait, nope. Can't do that because he has now been banned from Twitter. So Matt Bracken joins me now. Matt, well, they probably banned you. I don't know if they gave you a reason or not, but we'll hear that from you now. But My guess is they probably banned you because you've been so accurate in kind of seeing what's next behind the curtain as far as the planned violence that is going on by the powers that be in this country to continue the division and then try to set up some big event so that they can bring in a UN government or some government outside the laws and jurisdiction of the United States because, well, see, we can't trust the racist police anymore. So Matt Bracken joins me now. So, Matt, where do you want to start? Do you want to address the censorship on Twitter? Did they ever give you a reason for that?
Yeah, I did get a notification, which was sort of an auto response. I was at the dentist, actually over here, like 2 hours ago, so I'm still a little bit numb. So if I sound like I got a mouthful of marbles, that's the reason why. But
well, hell, you could be like, I mean, you could be under the strongest sedative on earth and probably still be more smarter than Don Lemon or who was ever on CNN. So I think you're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, they put the Novocaine in my gum, not in my brain. But Twitter, apparently, from what I can decipher, it's for Islamophobia. And essentially, I think that once you get to a high enough profile that somebody would like to take you out, they can just go back down your timeline, you know, pull out a few truthful memes about Muhammad or, you know, Islam's conquest strategy, which is basically what it is. And they'll then present a case. Of course, you're not invited. It's like a college, university trial against some dude, you know, accused of glancing at a girl the wrong way. They'll go back down your timeline and then say, "Oh, you're Islamophobic." They say you're like harassing people based on their religion. But I never actually troll. I don't, you know, put things on other people's timelines or comment to them. I just post to my own timeline, but I guess that some Islamists objected to my memes and article links and took me out. So I'm just on, I'm still on Facebook, so I'm being a little bit more careful now. I've been given 6 different 30-day bans from Facebook. At least, though, they tell you, you know, you're only on out for 30 days. Twitter apparently has perma-banned me, and I'm also on freezoxy.com, new social media and video platform. Folks can find me there on Facebook. But, yeah, they narrow the net down, but as long as I get on InfoWars once in a while, I know that millions of people will hear me, so it's all good.
Well, and, you know, that's the key at why InfoWars.com is so important, because it at least allows us a platform that most of our audience knows where it's at, how to use it. There's still people that were trying to get that word out there. I don't know how they don't know it yet. They're everyday listeners to the Alex Jones Show, and they still don't know about InfoWars.com/show. I'm not kidding you. I have to go through this daily. But, Matt, I think that there's 2 important angles to this, and I'm not sure which one you want to go down first, but I'm just going to put these 2 angles out here. One, I think the big story about this is that they're going back through people's timelines. So that means, you know, they'll go back, they'll find something 2 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, whenever. They'll just go find anything. So what they do is they pick their target and they say, okay, Matt Bracken, you know, he's bad. He loves America. He's got great knowledge and experience. You know, we got to get him off Twitter. So they go through all of your Twitter and, you know, 2 years ago, this, and then they find something and say, oh, he criticized Islam. We got him. Yes, we got him. And so then, boom, okay. So that's how they pull your Twitter account. So there's that aspect of it. Pick the target, find the crime. But then there's the other angle where, okay, and the average leftist falls for this every time. And I can understand why. They say, oh, well, you know, you're insulting Islam or you're bullying Muslims or something. And it's like, okay, well, wait a second. Let's say you put out a tweet that's negative about Islam. I'm not saying you did that. Let's just say that someone does put out a negative tweet about Islam and say, okay, well, wait a second. Why does that get you banned from social media? Do you understand people bash Catholics all the time? Christians are like the number one people that are demonized in the West, in China. So it's like, why is it that Islam is untouchable? I mean, you can do documentaries like Bill Maher making fun of, you know, Christians. You can do all different stuff making fun of any other religion but Islam. So Matt, I'm not sure where you want to go. Is it that they pick a target and then they go back and they find the crime? Or is it that, how is it that Islam is now somehow beyond reproach?
Well, I think that taking it from the Twitter point of view, where you have social justice warriors, you know, like in a war room, going through requests to look at people, Christians and nationalists slash patriots slash conservatives are often in the same group. So if you can take out somebody for Islamophobia, you know, essentially for going against Islamic blasphemy definitions. Remember, in Islam, truth is not a defense. If you do anything that makes people think less of Islam, for example, telling the truth about the life of Muhammad, that's blasphemy. You know, non-Muslims are not allowed to say anything that casts Muhammad in a bad light, even if it's truthful. And this suits the left-wing social justice warriors at Twitter, because people that are truthful about Islam are frequently patriotic, nationalistic, conservative Christians. So you take out the whole basket of deplorables with one shot, using Islamophobia as the crowbar, you know, as the tool. But it takes me off of Twitter, based on, you know, I'm supposedly attacking Islam or attacking Muslims by, you know, creating a meme that tells something truthful about the history of Islam. So, you know, to social justice warriors like Islamists, truth is not what counts. It's, does it advance progressivism? Does it advance Islamism? If it does, it's good. If it doesn't, it's bad and has to be shut down.
Well, and here's what bothers me so much that's kind of beneath the surface of all of this. You know, if you want to say, okay, all right, these people are Islamophobic. Okay, well, what is at the root of that? Like, why would anybody ever say that? We were told, I mean, this is what we're told. We're told that radical Islam hates our way of life, hates us, and so a radical Islamist in a cave decided to plan the September 11th airplane hijackings that led to the death of thousands and thousands, really probably close to 100,000 people once all the cancers and everything killed the first responders and everything. So that's the narrative that sparked all this, Matt. So it's like they want us to somehow forget that 9/11 ever happened, or what are they going to do? Are they going to come out and say, "Okay, we're sorry, we thought
this is we're in a whole new world now. We're in a whole new world with a more than a generation of the universities under the control of deconstructionist professors, going all the way back to, you know, the Frankfurt School transplanted to Columbia, therefore, and there throughout to the entire university system, then down to high schools, now grade schools. You know, it's the Gramscian long march through the institutions has succeeded. So what they've done is they've untaught 1,400 years of known history. I mean, if you told our grandfathers that in 50 years we wouldn't be allowed to tell the truth about Islam, they'd be shocked, because they knew the truth about Islam. It wasn't a secret. Islam is a religion, is a totalitarian ideology with aspects of a religion that is on the march.
We're about to go to break here. Hold that thought. We got to go to break here. But there's actually laws on the books that say that Islam is illegal in the United States because it's not classified as a religion. It's classified as an ideology, as a political movement. Those are just laws in the books. Now, you can say they're archaic or whatever. Just point is that Matt's history is actually spot on. We're going to get back to that in the next segment with Matt Bracken, who's just been banned.
Infowars.com/show.
Matt Bracken is our guest. He gets banned on Facebook and Twitter. It's like playing whack-a-mole with these people. But you can always find his stuff at enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. He's got books, videos he does. He's with us now, and I'm going to go right back to Matt at where he was at when it comes to the revisionist history, but I just got to say one more time, I'm somebody that tries to, above everything else, deal with logic and reasoning. Now, those are what lead me to my political beliefs, but above everything else, I try to deal in logic and reasoning, and when I see something where there is no logic and reasoning, it drives me crazy. So here's what's happening. Twitter is now using Islamophobia as their j'accuse. Like it's the French Revolution. You just say, j'accuse, I accuse you, and they chop your head off. So now they just say, Islamophobia, and then they just end your Twitter account. But again, where's the logic and reasoning? We were told that radical Islam, led by someone in a cave, getting enough other radical Islamists that hate America, hate the West, hate of way our life, came, stole planes, flew them in the Twin Towers, tried to fly them in the White House, Pentagon, all the, you know, everything we're told, killed hundreds of thousands of people when you tally all the deaths with the first responders and the dust and everything. And we're told that's all because of radical Islam. And then what do? We go into the Middle East, we bomb the hell out of Iraq, we bomb the hell out of Afghanistan, hell, we destroy Libya. I mean, you know, anywhere we want to go. But they never changed the narrative. They never said, oh, nope, I'm sorry, we were wrong. It wasn't radical Islam. You know, what would they say? Oh, it was Saudi Arabia. It was the Jews, you know. Oh, I'm sure people would love it. So it's like we never actually changed. So as Matt's going to get into revisionist history, Matt, isn't it amazing? So they tell us the big lie, Osama bin Laden is responsible for 9/11, and because radical Islam wants to kill us all and hates our way of life, we're going to invade the Middle East, and we're going to have all this regime change, and so we do all that, and now here we are 20 years later, and it's, oh, you're Islamophobic if you say anything negative about Islam, even though they tried to frame a terror attack on the entire religion. I mean, Matt, it's like, how does someone not go crazy in this dingbat world?
Well, I think that the big turnover happened at the end of George W. Bush, his term into Obama. We were being pretty honest about the danger of radical Islam after 9/11, but especially when Obama came in, they completely purged FBI training and all federal law enforcement training, military training. That's how Major Hassan was able to stay at Fort Hood, even though he dressed up like Osama bin Laden and had business cards that said Soldier of Allah. And he gave lectures on, you know, the righteousness of jihad against the infidel invaders in the Middle East. And he was an American military officer. And he was just he's just a standout case. But, you know, they completely purged the honest training. This was when Brennan was head of CIA also. And there's a lot of people that believe he's an actual Muslim mole. But, you know, that right now that we see with Macron in France attacking Trump for being a patriotic nationalist, the big push is on for the globalists. The globalists think they're using the Islamists, you know, by pouring Muslims into Europe to wreck it, to take it down. So the globalists think they're using Islamists. So the Islamists think they're using globalists. They're both right. But at the end, you know, the history teaches that the head choppers win the final debate. You know, you cannot debate anymore when your head is rolling on the ground. So in the end, the socialists will convert to Islam. But for the time being, both the leftists and the Islamists have an axis of convenience, which is we have to destroy the last obstacle, which are free, successful, patriotic, national, you know, sovereign states. We have to take them out. That's why they're calling, you know, Trump a traitor for not being a globalist, essentially. If you're a patriotic nationalist, now you're a traitor. Well, a traitor to what? A traitor to globalism. And we're in a very dangerous period right now because from Islam, from the radical left, you know, the Antifa the bunch, and a third part, which we can't forget, there are actual crazy neo-Nazis. Robert Bowers, who did the synagogue, is an example of this, who all have a common goal, which is to set fire to our civilization. All three sides of this, the neo-Nazi National Socialists, the Islamists, and the communist progressives, they all think that out of this chaos, their group will come out on top. Obviously, two out of the three have to be wrong unless some synthesis is formed, like a socialist-Islamist amalgam in the end. But all three of those groups would like to cause chaos and anarchy. And why this is so dangerous is that it means that it's rife for false flags. For example, after what happened to Tucker Carlson's house, it would be the simplest thing in the world for the same Antifas to go to a liberal media person and do something terrible at their house, blaming it on the right wing. You know, in this environment where both the National Socialists, Nazis, and the Islamists and the communists would all love to sow discord, any of them firing into any crowd or throwing bombs anywhere, can blame one of the other, get off scot-free, and all it serves all of their purpose, which is to set fire to the to our civilization, you know, just to blow it up. So we're in a situation where both you know, the National Socialists, the Communists, and the Islamists would all like to cause any kind of discord, including using violent terroristic means.
You know, that is kind of the glue. It's amazing you say that, because that is kind of the glue that I think puts all of them together, sticks them together, if you will. It's their hatred of America, and then on some like low intelligence level, to just be destructive, just be disruptive. You know, they kind of just get off to that.
At the very top of it, you could even say it's satanic. You know, they're the highest level of people that actually legitimately, if you can say, believe in Islamism, National Socialism, Nazism, or International Socialism, Communism, they may actually still believe in it. It's hard to believe, though, after 75 years of communism failing, that they still believe it.
Those are the low IQ people that kind of, you know, it's just like, oh, I'll be into that. Fodder. It kind of means I can go out and, you know, throw a brick through a window.
Right. And they're the cannon fodder. They get riled up by the smart ones. But at the very top of the smart ones,
I got to take a break here, but please let people know here where they can find you as you're, I mean, who knows when they'll totally erase you off Facebook or Twitter. They're kind of playing whack-a-mole with you, but where can people find you while you're going through the censorship?
You can find me right here on this freezoxy.com on Facebook.
Hold it up to the camera. Can you put it up to the camera a little bit? Zoom in. This is a doctored video.
I'll make something better than that. How about
there? It is. It's the doctored video now. We're zooming in, so therefore it's okay. Doctored. And you can always find his books and everything, enemiesforeignanddomestic.com, his videos at freeoxy.com. All right, Matthew Bracken.
Thanks.
Matthew, thank you. Thank you so much. Great as usual. And, you know, again, they say that they ban him because he's an Islamophobe. No, they ban him because he accurately is predicting everything that's happening right now when it comes to the domestic terrorism. So that's how this really works. All right, folks, I've been on air for an hour today, haven't even plugged once. So I'm a bad boy. I'm the worst. And because I don't plug, we can't fund. And I was actually having a meeting with Alex today, and he's talking about our next expansion, what I think we need to do, how can we make it possible, how can we help, you know, get it done and reach out to the audience. So it all depends, though, on what we get at InfoWarsStore.com. But I'm not going to sit here and patronize you with, oh, you know, give us your money so we can expand. Get a great product for yourself. In fact, I was a little unhealthy over the weekend eating, and I even had some ice from restaurants, so I know I got some fluoride. So I'm going to hit the Survival Shield X3. This is the new tri-iodine, the new nascent tri-iodine at InfoWarsStore.com. So I'm actually going to hit this to combat some of the fluoride I ingested this weekend. So give me a second here. I actually like the taste. Some people don't like the taste. It's like an electric, like metallic bite to it and taste. Some people don't like that elemental taste. I actually like it, but this is great for daily use. It's the nascent tri-iodine. It's 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off the brand new Survival Shield X3. And it's not nearly as concentrated, so you can do the full dropper. You can do it daily. And it's just great to fight the bad halogens, the fluoride that they put in the water, folks. There's nothing else you can do to fight against those halogens like Survival Shield X3 nascent tri-iodine. And we're in mid-November, so that means you got 3 weeks left to take advantage of this. The brand new InfoWars hoodie, the brand new InfoWars hexagon logo hoodie. There's the beauty right there. $10 off with coupon code WARROOM. $10 off with coupon code WARROOM. It's snowing in Oklahoma today. I have some friends in Oklahoma. They sent me. They're like, look, it's snowing. I'm like, well, what are you waiting for? Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the hoodie so that, you know, you're not cold.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Decoding enemy transmissions
so you get the truth.
It's the War Room
with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
Well, you're seeing the stories today.
Europe should become empire to compete with China and the U.S., says French minister. Of course, Macron saying that nationalism is bad. And, you know, again, this is InfoWars is tomorrow news today, so to a T, it just hurts the left so much. I remember specifically breaking this down on air one day. I don't remember if it was probably like a month ago, but I remember specifically breaking this down, why they created the EU, how it was created to compete on a global scale geopolitically with the U.S. So then eventually the idea of nation states competing with the overall global conglomerate would defeat nation states and then erase anyone that wants to be nationalist. So now Macron comes out and says nationalism is bad. The only thing the Sun got wrong here is they're not really trying to compete with China. China will eventually merge with them. They're really just competing with the free market of the West. But here is Macron saying that nationalism is no good.
With a vision, which carries universal values, has been, in those dark times, exactly the opposite of the selfishness of a people which only looks at its own interests. Because patriotism is the exact opposite of nationalism. Nationalism is its betrayal. By pursuing our own interests first, with no regard to others, we erase the very thing that a nation holds most precious, that which gives it life and makes it great, its moral values.
Boy, boy, oh boy, what a pathetic representation of France, but probably an accurate one nonetheless. But so they're telling you 2 + 2 = 5. You know, the sun doesn't rise in the east. But let's go to, did he steal that? I could have sworn, did he steal that from a television show? Wait a second. Let's go to the television show, Madame Secretary. That sounded familiar.
And thank you, Prime Minister Khatri. Prime Minister Widele, your courage and determination have made humankind safer from the second greatest threat it faces. What is an even greater threat than nuclear weapons? That which makes the use of them possible. Hate. Specifically, the blind hatred one group or nation can have for another. And that is why I am convinced that nationalism is the existential threat of our time. I want to be clear, nationalism is not the same as patriotism. It's a perversion of patriotism. Nationalism, the belief system held by those who attacked us, promotes the idea that inclusion and diversity represent weakness. That the only way to succeed is to give blind allegiance to the supremacy of one race over all others. Nothing could be less American.
As America is a melting pot for all different races and cultures.
And embracing our diversity as
okay, so you get the point, though, Madam Secretary. It's a show on, I don't know, CBS or something, some bullcrap. But so now Macron, this is how pathetic this guy is. You know, I'm not going to say it, but, you know, now the Macron is basically reading Hollywood scripts for his speeches now, folks. I mean, that's, you know, that's what you get in France. But pull up that video link, guys, because you guys, this so that whole Madame Secretary thing goes up on YouTube, and it's like a viral video. Like everybody, this is our dream. Imagine if Hillary was in. This is what we'd have. And you go and you read these comments. See if you guys can blow it up if I can read some of these comments here. If only Trump could take notes like this. Oh, yes. I just wish Trump hated America. Can someone send this video to the current clown in the White House? Oh, my gosh. I mean, I just wish Trump hated America like Hillary did. I just wish Trump hated America like Macron hates France. But didn't you hear Macron? We won the World Cup because we have open borders. Yay! We have riots every night in France and our borders are shut down and violence and rape is rampant and it's on the rise. But we won the World Cup! Yay! That's all that matters is the World Cup! Yay! Democrats have just announced their plan
that we told you they'd do first. InfoWars is tomorrow's news today, but the Democrats have just given the game plan to Axios. That's what they do, is they usually give one or two outlets their game plan to kind of like put it out there, and then they just roll it out. Democrats load subpoena cannon with 85-plus Trump targets. Oh, baby, you know what that means. The Democrats stole the House, so they now control the Intel Committee and all these other committees that can subpoena. And so they're now basically making a hit list. It'll probably be over 100 by the time it's done. You can bet your bottom dollar Roger Stone's going to be on that list. Might be a safe bet that Alex Jones is going to be on that list. Who knows? Hell, there's probably an outside chance I may even end up on that list. You know, I do associate with those two after all. So, you know, I did have cake one time with Roger Stone. We had cake, so that may have been Russian icing. So get ready, folks. This is the Democrats launching their war against the Republic. And so we're going to get in touch with my co-host Roger Stone shortly. He's going to be joining us. But I'm telling you, this is what they're going to do to try to destroy Trump on the way to 2020. They're going to go absolutely bonkers in the House. And let me tell you, if you thought that the Kavanaugh hearings were a circus act, you get ready for the Democrats trying to subpoena anything walking that has an association to Donald Trump, because that's what's coming. There'll be hundreds of subpoenas. They'll say, you had lunch at Trump Tower, and we saw there was Russian vodka on your tab. We're going to subpoena you. That's the kind of crap they're about to pull. You watch. They'll pull up some video. Some guy makes a joke about having Russian salad dressing on a YouTube video, and he supports Trump, and he may have even actually follows Greg Papadopoulos or George Papadopoulos on Twitter. Whoa, he's getting a subpoena. You get ready, folks. That's what they're going to do. And they just released their game plan to Axios, published today. Because, you see, it's not enough to just steal reality from you, like Jim Acosta, who says, I didn't touch that woman. Jim, there were 100 people that saw you touch her, and now 100 million people have seen the video. No, I didn't touch her. See? That's how it works. So they steal your reality, then they steal your elections, and then they're just going to steal any justice, any logic, any common sense, just any civility that we have here in our society in the West. They're just going to steal all that too. And they're going to start subpoena. I mean, they'll subpoena a shrub that is like, you know, been on Trump's doorstep at his apartment or something. I mean, I'm telling you, they're going to go nuts. Fully loco in the House. That's going to be led by Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff. But what is in the Wall Street Journal today? Oh, Hillary will run again. And I'm reading a story.
We've got giant breaking news. I didn't talk bad about Corsi and say that he was basically a vegetable in D.C. the last time I saw him, to be mean. I did it because when Mueller was spending 3 days at a time with him, I knew it was because Corsi had a stroke or whatever it was. I mean, he could barely talk. And it wasn't drinking, because I saw him in the morning at the press club. I just talked to Roger during the break. He's about to come on. I'm going to come on after this. But we have the world exclusive. They're about to indict a man who can barely talk, Dr. Jerome Corsi. So I thought, well, my God, they're focusing on him. Is he going to make something up? Then he made statements to the public. No, Roger didn't do anything. So now I think they got to have their final bite. So there's this super patriot that wrote all these books that helped defeat, you know, the Clintons and all the rest of it. They're now giving him his payback. And it's just really, really sad. So Roger's coming up. Bring him up now. And then I'm going to be in here after the break with both of you.
And, you know, I last time I talked to Jerry, he had his wits about him. And it was sad when I was talking to other people who said, oh, wow, yeah, last time I saw Jerry, it was like he wasn't even there anymore. So, of course, they would use that as a target. But this is what they're going to do. They're going full bore here, Roger. Now, Roger Stone, my co-host, joins me here. I don't know where you want to begin, Roger. The Democrats stole 15 seats in the House. They're trying to steal a Senate seat in Arizona, Florida, as we speak. I mean, it's just totally local. They're getting Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are getting ready for hundreds of subpoenas against anybody who even saw Donald Trump. What do you see coming next, Roger?
Well, I must tell you, what I'm seeing in Florida is unlike anything I've ever seen before, Owen. I mean, you have in Broward County complete secrecy. Republican and media representatives are not allowed to observe the recount process. Votes that are specifically been disallowed by the election board are being counted. There's a total lack of transparency. But what people don't understand is that if any given county does not finish their recount by a certain deadline, then the total they reported on election night stands. Well, in Palm Beach, for example, that would be beneficial to the Republicans. And my sources there tell me there's no way manually and physically they can finish the entire recount by the deadline. Now, in the closest race, the agricultural race, that mandates a hand recount, which is even slower and more difficult than a machine recount. So we have a situation in which the Broward County supervisor of the Board of Elections refuses to announce the total she has sent to Tallahassee. It's like a game of poker.
And but Roger, not only that, they tried to bring in truckloads of ballots, truckloads. They got them in too late. And so now they're saying, well, okay, you didn't get them in. Let's review the ballots, though. They're not going to count, but we want to take those ballots as evidence. And Snipes says, nope. Even though she tried to bring those ballots in to count, now they want to review them as evidence. And she's saying, nope, you can't see them because it's probably 60,000 Democrat filled out ballots, Roger.
Well, we do know that last night, Owen, incredibly, at the Avis rent-a-car facility at Fort Lauderdale Airport, a car was turned in, and in the trunk were found two provisional boxes labeled owned by the
county. I was doing my duty in the bathroom earlier today. I found a stack of ballots, Roger.
Well, but when they found out who had rented this car, it is rented to a county employee who is Facebook friends with Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel. Pam Bondi really emerged today, the state attorney general, as a hero for Republicans, much tougher than Rick Scott, demanding that the Florida State Police, FDLE, and the Secretary of State do something to address the issue of these things being closed out to Republicans without legal observation. Matt Caldwell, candidate for state agriculture commissioner, a member of the legislature, thrown out of the count, not allowed to attend the count. We've never seen widespread theft like this. My prediction is, of course, that this ends up in court. We don't know what the final total will be because of this recount. It was just revealed hours ago that in Bay County, the supervisor of elections is taking votes by email, which is most definitely not legal.
Well, and I mean, this whole thing is just incredible. But Roger, I mean, everyone's focused on Florida, and rightfully so. They've been stealing it there for years. I mean, you have Brenda Snipes. I mean, this woman, she belongs in jail 10 years ago. But they're doing the exact same thing in the Arizona Senate race right now, where they have a county that they just found. I think it's like they just found another 35,000 votes from this county that traditionally goes Republican, heavily favored McSally in the last election, heavily favored Trump in the presidential election. I mean, just traditionally, the county always goes red by about 4 percentage points. Oh, but magically, they just got all these ballots in from this county, Roger. And guess what? Oh, it's 60% Democrats all of a sudden, which is also double the rate of all the other Democrat counties that went in favor of Sinema. So magically, traditionally, a Republican county goes for the Democrat Sinema, and also at a 6% rate compared to the 3% rate that she's at in all the other Democrat counties. So, Roger, I mean, the Democrats are openly stealing these elections in front of our faces. It's unbelievable. Alex Jones is joining us on the other side. We're going to have more of the exclusives with Roger Stone as well. And now they're getting ready to indict somebody that is not there anymore, and they're going to use that on record to try to bring us down.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The Democrat dirty tricks continue, ladies and gentlemen. If you pet Trump's dog in 1993, well, they're going to give you a subpoena. Alex Jones joins me in studio now to talk about the latest breaking. This is an exclusive, Alex. They're trying to, for lack of a better phrase, use somebody who may not be fully there mentally to try to use a testimony that he gave either, you know, a month ago or a month from now to say, oh, this proves it. Trump's Russian.
And I want to be clear. The Democrats, the deep staters, literal Chi-Com agents, that's all coming out in the news. I mean, cut and dry that they've been colluding. I'm not glad they're criminals, but I'm glad they're being so honest about this and their harassment of everybody, because it really lets everybody know these people really are as bad as we thought. They really are as out of control as we thought. And all I knew is Corsi wrote a couple of number one New York Times bestsellers. I know he was one of the main sources when Lou Dobbs had like 7, 8, 9, 10 million viewers on CNN, and so he got banned because he was so successful. And so I've been interviewing Corsi, God, like probably since right after 9/11. I've been interviewing Corsi like 18 years. And I noticed he started getting a little dodgy about a year ago. We hired him to do stuff, but he would be there one day, wouldn't be there the next. Then I was in D.C., and I've got witnesses. In fact, see if our news director, Rob Dew, that was there with us, can get over there on a mic in a minute. And I'm not saying this to be mean to Corsi. My grandfather was a wonderful, great guy, my mom's dad. And then the last year of his life or whatever, he had dementia. And, you know, he acted like a 3-year-old. So that's not who my grandfather was. I don't judge him by that. It's not disrespect to the older, you know, elderly or folks who, you know, Alzheimer's, dementia can kind of come and go. But I saw him in the morning in D.C. He didn't know who I was. Then he couldn't give a speech at the press conference in the morning. He just kind of said, oh, great. This is important. Bye-bye. And just seemed totally out of it. It was like kind of stumbling around. And then I randomly, we're at a steakhouse. And of course, he comes in by himself. I go, hey, eat with us. He goes, who are you? And he goes over, he orders water. He's getting a steak. I don't think he was drunk. He falls down later after I'd left. And my security team had already was finishing up. It was like six people. Three of them they thought he died. He quit breathing for a minute. They're like, dude, you're going to have Corsi, he may have died. A couple days later, I talked to him. He doesn't remember any of it. So I was just thinking, wow, you know, it's crazy that this is the guy Mueller reportedly has called in over and over and over again. And the media was acting like, oh, Corsi's going to make up some stuff about Roger Stone or whatever, you know, about Julian Assange. I was there. I'm not going to rehash it. It drives me crazy. I've covered it so many times, but everybody knows I called Julian Assange Hillary's butt plug because he would never release the info and said he was. He finally delivered and did, so I admire him. And now look, they're trying to put him in prison. But I was like, to everybody, I was like, we were sending emails. Like, come on, WikiLeaks, you go on New York Times, you go on CNN, why don't you go on us? The idea that Assange is a Russian, which was never even proven or shown, and then extension, you're bad if you talk to Assange, which he wouldn't give us the time of day, I remember. Roger talking to folks that knew him, plus they're giving press conferences saying it's going to be damning to Hillary Clinton. That's all out of Assange's mouth. So the idea that I'm under investigation and that Roger's under investigation, I think is a joke. I've never been worried about it. I just knew they'd try to get us in some process deal. So if the FBI came and asked me questions or the grand jury, I'd say, listen, I'm not getting into dates or times or anything because it's all a big damn blur. I'll show you Exhibit A. Me screaming and yelling at Assange saying, why won't you talk to us, you idiot, you butt plug, which I shouldn't have said, and it was late night and everything else. And I'm sure there's text messages. I haven't gone back through them. Me telling Roger Stone, hey, man, try to get Assange on. And he's like, well, I know a guy who knows him, a talk show host. I mean, everything Roger said, it's not about Roger. It's this whole idea that the election's illegitimate and we're these Russian agents. When Hillary and Mueller rub their eyeballs with Uranium One. Mueller's on tarmacs with secret uranium deliveries. I mean, if Trump was in secret uranium deliveries, I'd say hang him up by his frickin' toes, man. It's like the joke of her with the server and the Chi-Coms and the Russians, and they're the globalists and we're the Americanas, and then I feel good when I started saying, actually, Corsi won't make up stuff about Stone and Jones and others, and is saying, get ready, this is going to be terrible. They've been grilling him because he's old. He didn't want to get into it with me in person. I said, what's wrong with you? Last time I talked to him, like 8, 9, I don't remember. It was a long time ago. Because the FBI had called that a lie. Well, it was 7 months ago, not 8. You said 8. It was the last time I talked to him. I have to check the phone records. He was there, and I was like, well, it's personal. I don't want to get into it, but I'm having some health issues. So I don't know what's up with Corsi, but it's mean to get some old guy that doesn't know what planet he's on most of the time. And, of course, that's how Mueller would end this, when Mueller should be indicted for the fraud he's been involved in. I'm not going to kiss his criminal ass here. I mean, there is no Russia collusion. And so, of course, poor Dr. Corsi, who the Clintons have a raging hard-on for, who wrote all these best-selling books exposing him, number one New York Times bestsellers. You know, that shot down John Kerry, all of them. So Roger, you're here to break this down. We should really be going to you, plus more on Broward County, and just you predicted on election night. You said, well, they usually till elections. I can't believe they're conceding. Well, they were just waiting until we turned away to ship in their trucks. But just, you know, it makes me feel better about Corsi. And even if he's so senile and he says he saw me wearing a fur hat saluting Putin and that, you know, I got on my knees to Putin and said, oh, pooty, pooty. I mean, even if he does that, he's so sick. I don't even blame him now.
Well, Alex, I tend to go with your interpretation. It appears to me that he's been heavily pressured to bear false witness against me and perhaps others. I do know that he met with candidate Trump and with Michael Cohen during the campaign. I don't know what that was about. I don't even know that this relates to me. I do know that you could take emails and text messages out of context to try to create a false impression that would show that we had advance notice of the content or source of either John Podesta's emails or the emails published by WikiLeaks that were allegedly hacked. But that is not the case. There is no Russian collusion. There is no WikiLeaks collaboration. Everything I have said regarding my interactions with Dr. Corsi, who's a brilliant researcher and writer, is accurate. And if all of our messages and communications are seen in context, it proves that. But any prosecutor can cook up a perjury charge against Jerry Corsi, against myself, against anyone. But
sure. So what does it say? Because you have the breaking news. The word is they're going to indict him. That's what you're saying. I mean, what does that mean?
We're not sure. You know, the implication is that they are going to indict him because he has refused to say whatever it is they want him to say. He says he'll be indicted for perjury. I don't know what they're going to accuse him of lying about. I do know, having looked at my own communications with them on Skype, email and text, that they confirm the sequence of events as I described them under oath for the House Intelligence Committee.
I don't know how the hell you keep track of it. I mean, like, we scrabble around here all the time trying to get breaking news, and Assange was a failure for us because he never gave us an exclusive. He would never even talk to us.
Look, you've got Shelby Holliday trying to reinflate the credibility of Randy Credico, who says I hypnotize witnesses into saying what they said before the grand jury. That's how crazy he is. A man who told me he was so heavily medicated in 2016, he can't remember anything.
Yeah, but you see the victory. You see the victory, though, Roger. They've changed the subject from their Chi-Com dealings, their Russian dealings, their anti-Americanism, the caravans they've got attacking the country, and it turns into us defending ourselves from being involved with the Russians. I mean, it's like, it's a catch-22, because you don't respond, they get to put the lie out, but you respond, you change the subject, they're a bunch of criminals, that Hillary Clinton's an American-hating trash brain. She's the Russian agent. Indict her.
Infowars.com/show. The left promises to launch a communist revolution. We promise to stand in their way. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
And whatever you do for local AM and FM stations, TV stations, spread the word and support those stations. You cannot pick up a more cutting-edge, avant-garde broadcast in the War Room. You cannot do it. And I'm going to get out of here and let you guys take over. But I want to bring Rob Dewing, because he's just sitting there in the last segment. He was with me in D.C. When was that? April? Rob, turn your mic on.
Yeah, it was early April. You got me muted? You got me on?
He's live.
It was early April, and we were going up there for our National Press Club conference we were going to have. And we're sitting there at the steakhouse. It's me. Zimmerman was actually there, too. And this guy comes walking behind us. And I remember glancing at him going, that kind of looks like Corsi. But it, like, he didn't say anything to us. He just kept shuffling by. I'm like, well, maybe a lot of guys look like Corsi around here. And then I don't remember if it was you or Zimmerman who pointed out, look, that's Corsi over there. And he didn't recognize us. He's sitting at a table by himself. And I think you sent Zimmerman over to bring him to our table because he ended up finishing dinner with us. But he was out of it. Oh, hi. How are you doing? It was weird. It was very just, he was kind of out of it. We finished dinner and we actually had two of the guys walk him back to his place, and going down the escalator, boom, he starts stumbling. They're grabbing him, holding him up, and they said they had to carry him just about back to the hotel because they came back and talked to us that night.
Well, they said he stopped breathing.
Yeah. That's
it. You remember that?
I don't remember them telling me that. They probably told you that the next day because they looked concerned, though, the entire time. They looked like they were like, is that guy going to be okay? I said, well, he should be. He's supposed to be speaking tomorrow at the press conference. Because he was the one who set it all up for us.
And then he couldn't even speak the next day. But then, by the afternoon, he was able to give a speech.
Yeah, he did give a speech that afternoon. But that morning, yeah, he got on, said, I just want to say thanks. And then he kind of walked off, and that was it.
And I just want to be clear. They've targeted him, because then I had some phone conversations with him after that, and he was not there. So it's not a mean thing. I'm just saying the guy they've honed in on in this whole canard, this red herring, this fiasco, this frame-up, is Corsi, and I really feel sorry for him. I want to shift gears out of that with Roger Stone. Roger, we sit up here and go, oh, call the White House, tell them don't censor, or we're all screwed. Or, oh, go to the website that we've launched. A lot of people are signing up for it, writetrump.com. We're going to send him the letters, literally mail each letter, its own letter, calling for them to stop the censorship. And Trump's moving with his new interim AG to go after the censorship. I know that. To go after the Chi-Coms. That's why the left's so scared. We've got 2 months of the Republican lame duck Congress right now. What are you thinking they should do right now before the jihad begins of Schiff and others?
Well, Alex, I don't think there's anything more important to the success of our long-term fight for freedom than a vibrant, free, accessible internet. And therefore, the initiative that you've launched at writetrump.com is vitally important. We need to make sure the president understands that the future of his reform agenda, the future of his presidency, the potential for reelection, indeed his legacy, will be completely determined based on whether we have open ability to communicate. The war of internet censorship has essentially shifted control of the political narrative and political news in this country back to the mainstream media. And the efforts to censorship InfoWars have been in the forefront of that systematic effort. You see it at Facebook. You see it at Twitter. You see it at Reddit. And it had its impact in this most recent election. I think we would not have lost the House had we had an even playing field on the internet. So people need to go to writetrump.com now, because Alex Jones has agreed to pay for the postage himself, and we hope to deliver 100 individual letters. You can put your own personalized PS on it. You can also print it out and mail it yourself if you want. For those who are angry, for those who are disappointed, for those who are upset about these most recent elections, for those who are upset about what's going on in this bogus recounting, do this today. Take action. You can do something today that really matters. The president must move on this.
Well, and you know this, Roger. There's one way to Trump's heart, and this is kind of a double-edged sword with writetrump.com, because Trump is a people person, and when he feels that people are taking the time to write him a letter, that's the kind of stuff that kind of warms his heart, and that's the kind of stuff he's like, hey, I want to read some of that. So, I mean, your letter that you put at writetrump.com could actually be on the President Trump's desk and him reading it. Or, Roger, what happens on the other end of that spectrum, they try to block President Trump from getting these letters. They try to keep President Trump from getting this communication. He finds out about it, and then he becomes raging mad that somebody would try to block the people's communication with him, and then it becomes something that he's committed to making sure he reads this stuff. So it's kind of like the 4D warfare chess thing, Roger, with writetrump.com, because you can either get right to Trump's desk, right to Trump's ear, or you can expose the people working for Trump that are keeping Trump's supporters' words and ideas from reaching his desk.
Well, here's the most important thing, and that is he now has an acting attorney general who might actually take antitrust actions against those who are racketeering and colluding in their efforts to censor InfoWars and other Republicans, conservatives, Trump supporters across the board. You have a man of courage with a history of activism. The left says he should recuse himself because of his past political activities, but they have no problem with one of Hillary Clinton's personal attorneys leading the investigation and the potential prosecution of me inside the Mueller team. So this is the hypocrisy of the left. These letters are vitally important to get the president to direct his acting attorney general to get the antitrust division at the Justice Department cracking down on the monopolistic, anti-competitive, illegal racketeering practices that are being used to snuff InfoWars and many others.
Well, and Roger, I mean, the amazing thing, too, is it kind of has the reverse effect, at least on the average, you know, the average psychology is as soon as you tell someone they can't get that info, or as soon as you try to stop someone from getting that info, or let's say someone inside Trump's administration tries to stop him from seeing the letters that we're going to send him the physical copy of. That's another key to this, too. The actual physical copy showing up at Trump's desk, then that exposes rats from within. And I mean, Roger, you go out, you've been out in Florida, you know, they're trying to steal this thing. I go out to Trump events. We go out and we hold events like this weekend with the Stop Government Funding of Planned Parenthood. Our audience knows that they're trying to censor us. Our audience knows that they're trying to erase us off the internet. Our audience knows that Alex Jones is number public enemy number one when it comes to the media, where Alex, I mean, we have to even discuss. It's like Alex even has to sometimes bite his tongue from coming on this show because he feels bad that they're going to ban me and the War Room from everything on existence, just like they banned him, but he's got exclusive intel. So it's like he's playing tug of war with himself. Like, do I get the exclusive intel out there because it's important, or do I hold myself back because I know they're going to censor? But this is why, you know, people get it, Roger. So they go to InfoWarsStore.com. They take advantage of all our specials. We've got big specials going on. Is this still free shipping store-wide, guys? I can't even keep up. Free shipping store-wide. Free shipping store-wide, ladies and gentlemen. So that means go get a hoodie. Use coupon code War Room. Go get your brand new InfoWars Hexagon logo hoodie at InfoWarsStore.com. $10 off with coupon code War Room. You can get the zip up or the pullover version of the brand new InfoWars Hexagon logo hoodie at InfoWarsStore.com. You can go get the brand new Survival Shield X3 for 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And you know, it's flu season, it's cold season. It gets cold, the weather changes, your immune system takes a hit. Everybody knows about this. They tell you to go get a flu vaccine. Uh-uh. Don't do that. Do not go get the poisonous vaccine. Go get a bottle of colloidal silver. Get two, get three, get four, get five for 67% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. This is the best way to protect your immune system, ladies and gentlemen. Not a flu shot. A flu shot will kill you. It could kill you. It happens all the time. Colloidal silver helps boost your immune system. Go get the immune gargle. We have big bottles, like liter bottles of the silver immune gargle that you can use to refill it too. So check it all out at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping store-wide right now. Take advantage. We need your support now more than ever. They're going to ban us off the internet, folks. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWars.com/show. There's the Hexagon logo hoodie, $10 off with coupon code WARROOM.
InfoWars.com/show.
Back to the War Room. Roger Stone is with me. We're about to be joined by Jacob Engels as well. ABC News has just published this story. Special counsel witness says he expects to be charged in Mueller probe. And guess what they say before any names in the story or anything else? the former InfoWars Washington bureau chief. They just had to put InfoWars right in there, the third word in the story. This is all by design, folks. So now they're going to use this to try to demonize InfoWars and claim we're Russian agents. And you read this story. This is so ridiculous. Roger, I don't even know. I mean, Roger Stone. Roger, would you like to defend yourself? I think that you were on Pluto with Donald Duck in the year 2014. Roger, would you like to defend yourself? I think you were hovering around Pluto with Donald Duck. Roger?
Well, let's say it again. No Russian collusion. No WikiLeaks collaboration, no proof that I knew about the source or the content of allegedly hacked or stolen emails. It appears to me that poor Jerry Corsi has been squeezed to bear false witness against someone, perhaps the president, perhaps me. But I know that based on my own chain of communications with him via email and text, when they're seen in toto, when they're seen in context, there's no evidence that I've done anything other than tell the truth about my interactions with Dr. Corsi. Is it possible to take one email or text out of context to create a false impression? Yes, but I think a jury would figure that one out pretty quickly. So what happened to the Russian collusion? They said, where's the stuff that, where's the advance notice of the stealing of Podesta's emails? I didn't know that prior to my famous tweet.
But Roger, doesn't it show now, and I want to get Jacob on here shortly, but Roger, doesn't it show now that the whole Russian collusion thing was always a made-up thing? It was always a facade so they could launch this whole investigation and then use the FBI to throw anyone in jail. So that's what this comes down to. They're going to use any associate of Trump, and they're going to grind you for a question that never existed. The even notion is absurd, but they're going to use that to grind people out and say, oh, you lied about it to the FBI. We're putting you in jail.
Well, look, perhaps they have squeezed poor Dr. Corsi to help frame me in some, perjury frame. But I don't believe that he is that kind of person or that kind of man. He did kind of disappear into QAnon land, and he has his own demons. But like everyone else, I've not heard from the special counsel's office. Dr. Corsi's comments are open to interpretation.
Let's bring in Jacob Engels now, who's been witnessing and documenting the fraud and election theft that's happening in Florida right now. Jacob is on the phone. Jacob, you've been on the ground. You've been tracking this. You've seen the busloads of ballots coming in. The police say you're not allowed to see it. Brenda Snipes says she doesn't know what's going on. She wants to bring in the 60,000 ballots, and they say we can't count them. Then they won't let anybody see the ballots. Jacob Engels from the Central Florida Post, what is going on in Florida right now?
It's a total disaster and mess. Last night and today, now judges are deciding in Broward County what media and what attorneys and people who want to view the votes can have access. And the only way that you can get on the list is to go inside and attempt the credential process, but the police won't let you inside if you're not credentialed. So it's entirely corrupt, and it really is sickening.
What have you seen as far as the trucks? I mean, all the ballots coming in from classrooms, from rent-a-cars. I went into my walk-in closet today. I found a box of ballots. I mean, what's next?
We really don't know. And quite frankly, today on the ground, I received several reports. I arrived a few minutes ago, again, to the supervisor of elections, and people wearing badges for Brenda Snipes are making statements, cracker, go home, calling people white N-word when they're out here demanding access and public view, and actually threatening to shoot people. And the police on scene are more concerned about throwing in digs and insults at people who are being told they're going to be shot than actually getting those individuals under control.
Yeah, the police are clearly out there protecting Snipes and all the corrupt Democrats that are stealing this election right now. But Roger, you predicted this, but did you expect them to literally just stab the guy right in front of everybody on the streets while they say they're not stabbing him?
Well, this is very sad because the whole thing could have been avoided. I warned Governor Rick Scott over 2 months ago that he should replace Brenda Snipes based on a record of corruption and incompetence in this year's Republican congressional primary, in the Democratic congressional primary 2 years ago against Deborah Wasserman Schultz, where she essentially broke the law to destroy the candidacy of Tim Canova, a progressive Democrat. And had he acted to do so, I think you'd have an honest recount. Now, this is a giant poker game. She won't tell us how many total votes she has reported. She sent it to the state. She says she has no obligation to announce it. We don't know what she's holding. We do know that in the official recount, if any county does not finish their recount on time, then the results they reported on election night stand. That would seem to benefit Rick Scott and the Republicans in Palm Beach County. This is a giant game of chicken. We don't know what she has. We do know that she has allowed the counting of ballots that the elections board had ruled were not valid. We know that ballots have shown up from here, there, and everywhere, but we still don't know what the grand total is. There's no transparency. They won't allow Republican observers to be in on the recount, which is a violation of the state's Sunshine Law. The Attorney General, Pam Bondi, raised both these questions with the state police and the Secretary of State today. There's a slow motion steal going on in Broward County in which there is no transparency. The Democrats say count every vote. I say no, count every legal vote, count every real vote. I've never seen abuses like this.
Wait a second. Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh, guys. I need a camera in studio. Oh, my gosh. Wait. Oh my God. Yeah, we found it. I just found another box of ballots. I just found a whole other box. I got another one. This is just coming in. This one's too big. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Look at this one. I got a whole other box of ballots right here. Look at that. I just found another box of ballots, Roger. Who knows? There might be. I'm gonna have to look all over the studio. There could be a box of ballots, behind the studio. I'm gonna have to go into the break and find other boxes of ballots. I mean, these are all filled out for Democrat votes here in Texas for Florida, but they have to be counted. They have to be counted. So Jacob, real quick, your boots on the ground. What are people in Florida saying right now that are documenting this? What are the people down there that are going out and rallying saying? I mean, they're trying to arrest Matt Gaetz. I mean, what's the latest on the ground, Jacob?
Everyone is just clearly upset. Tensions are rising. You have one faction of people who want every legal vote counted and want a individual that is not Brenda Snipes counting, clearly because of her record of ballot tampering and election rigging. And then you have individuals on the other side who think that every vote should be counted, even if it's Mickey Mouse or Daffy Duck or a dead person or, get this, an illegal. I wonder if it were 200,000 ballots by alleged illegal aliens, if they were Russian illegals, would we want these votes being counted? It's just bizarro world on a repeat loop again and again and again. There's an issue every day demonstrating her incompetence, and yet she remains.
I've decided I'm going to fill out my ballot. Guys, can I get a doc cam here? Let me just I'm actually filling out my ballot right now, too. There it is right there. Okay. All right. I just filled out my ballot. Let's turn this one in, even though I couldn't spell ballot right. We're going to turn this one in, too, and I'm going to get a vote in. Roger, final comments from you here as the Democrats are stealing Congress.
I think the Florida contests end up somewhere in court. I think that no one has confidence in this process. The arrogance and the lack of transparency in Broward County is unlike anything that I have ever seen. They found an Avis rent-a-car with two boxes that were meant for provisional ballots at the airport yesterday, that the car was last rented by a county employee. I mean, there's many unanswered questions here. This all ends up in front of a court.
Well, and unfortunately, it looks like the Florida one there is the only one that people are going to try to fight against. But they stole the seat in Arizona. They stole 15 seats in the House minimum. And I've got my ballot, though, right here, guys. Thank you, Jacob Engels, for joining us on short notice here today from Central Florida Post. But I got my ballot right here. Give me a doc cam, guys. No, this is an official ballot. I'm sending this to Brenda Snipes right now. I want my vote for Nelson and Gillum counted. This is an official ballot, darn it.
Infowars.com/show.
Warning.
This broadcast is not for the weak-minded.
It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, let's just bask in the total lunacy and low IQ of the left right now. You had Michelle Obama do an interview with ABC over the weekend. Folks, I'm telling you, Barack and Michelle Obama are cracking right now. I mean, you go look at an Obama speech. He's angry. He doesn't have the same mojo. He's fumbling and bumbling. He looks like a fool. And now you have Michelle Obama in this ABC interview. She sounds like a bumbling valley girl. Listen to this short little clip from Michelle Obama over the weekend.
Yeah. I was like, is he trifling? Is this the black man's going to be late on the first day? I was like, because I sort of think, okay, he can talk straight. So I thought, what? You know, like, he's got all the time in the world. He had that stride. I was like, dude, you're cute. In my mind, I was like, you know, whew. Told me I was angry, pretending like hurtful things don't hurt. Gosh, you know.
There is Michelle Obama, but that's just one level of clear. I mean, that is just through the roof IQ right there with Michelle. I mean, seriously, I mean, that woman, whatever, you know. Probably one of the smartest cookies to ever walk. I mean, you can just tell. But there's one person that actually gives her a run for her money, and that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She gives Michelle Obama a run for her money for smartest woman in America. Go ahead and listen to Ocasio-Cortez from over the weekend. So she's dancing and doing her hair. I thought she couldn't afford an apartment. This is your next congresswoman.
There's no special sauce to it. You just gotta be good at getting things done. So here's the final product, everybody. Before I sign off, someone said TYT or CYN or CNN. CYT. Okay.
Going on.
Here you go. Here's the final product. We got some of our mac and cheese. Let's see. Reaction. What do you think, Sean?
That was really good.
You like it?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
What do you think?
That guy.
You like it? Here we are.
So she's one of those people that Instagrams her food. How come? It says in this thing, she says she's flirting with the run for presidency. Did she say that in the video? All right. Well, anyway. Oh, boy. Well, hey, look, don't we all love the... Okay, you know what? Let's just move on from that, actually. Okay. She's really intellectual, though. Hey, I'd try some of that mac and cheese. Go ahead and send me some of that. All right, but let's go to someone that actually can think clearly and does make some sense. Let's go to President Trump. We're honoring the veterans. It is Veterans Day being observed today. President Trump was speaking at an American cemetery on Armistice Day.
Exactly 100 years ago today, on November 11th, 1918... World War I came to an end. We are gathered together at this hallowed resting place to pay tribute to the brave Americans who gave their last breath in that mighty struggle. American Marine soldiers and Allied forces fought, and they fought through hell to turn the tide of the war, and that's what they did. Each of these marble crosses and stars of David marks the life of an American warrior. Through rain, hail, snow, mud, poisonous gas, bullets and mortar, they held the line and pushed onward to victory. It is our duty to preserve the civilization they defended and to protect the peace they so nobly gave their lives to secure one century ago.
You know, and we're about to be joined by Craig Sawyer, a legendary veteran in his own respect. I just want to thank everybody that came out this weekend. We did a flag lay at the State Cemetery here in Austin. When we left that cemetery, not a grave, a veteran's grave, was unmarked with at least two flags. Just amazing patriotism. a time to be alive. Indeed. Who wouldn't want to be alive for the second American Revolution? Who wouldn't want to be alive for the third Great Awakening worldwide? And there's kind of a subliminal to that, because most people that are alive for it are already dead. So they don't even know what's going on. But we know what's going on. We're in the battlefield. We're playing. I got news I want to get to, but Craig Sawyer is joining me in this segment for the next segment as well. His website is vetsforchildrescue.org. You can find him at Craig Sawyer. Craig, there is so much to cover here, but, you know, I got to say, have you ever seen, and I know that you're doing a lot of stuff right now to fight child trafficking, but I'm sure that you've heard the news when it comes to the midterms. Have you ever seen a party, whether it be Democrats, Republicans, in this case it is the Democrats though, have you ever seen a party so blatantly engage in election fraud and stealing elections as we're seeing right now, not just in Florida, but across the United States being done by the Democrats?
Obviously not, and it's highly concerning. I saw a video of a young man pouring his heart out on social media. He'd come from Colombia, and he's like, look, we fled lesser countries. We fled the oppression and the corruption of other countries to come here to be part of the American dream. And how can we stand by idly and watch this be taken from all of us at this point through fraudulent election practices? And we must all stand up now and assert ourselves and fight this. And he had tears in his eyes. I found it very compelling. I'm like, man, I get it. You know, not only do we Americans that have been here, that our forefathers fought for the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy now, but that the migrants that come here also to benefit from our culture and our life of freedom and liberty here, they're being denied that. They're seeing it systematically dismantled and taken. And I think it's just a case of the American citizen realizing that we, the people, are supposed to be asserting ourselves and running the country, demanding what we want out of our elected officials. And we have to stand up and make our voices heard. We cannot sheepishly sit back and allow what's been so expensively fought for and earned for us by greater men that have gone before us, and women, and just watch it taken from us now. We it's not ours, really, to squander and allow to pass. You know, our children and our great-grandchildren will count on us to maintain this sanctuary of freedom and liberty that's been so valiantly fought for and created. So, man, these are contentious times, historic times, and we let us not fail at it. It's citizens that call the shots.
And I think that that's why there's so many people in America, you know, again, specifically, I think, at least in the modern parlance, you can point at the left here, but they hate veterans. They hate people like you because it's that sacrifice. It's the courage to say, I realize that my life is just one life, but if I sacrifice my life for an idea, then that idea lives on forever, and then my ancestors can benefit from that idea. And so they have this whole demonization of veterans, and they have this whole demonization of America. But you've seen what it looks like in a foreign country where they don't have elections. You've seen what it looks like in a country where they just select the next leader. And so now they're trying to be that, to do that here. And like you said, Americans, to a large extent, are just sheepishly watching this happen, because I got to watch the Cowboys last night on television play football, Craig. So I don't care if an election is stolen.
Yeah, you know, shame on us if we get lulled into a sense of complacency so deep that we do not stand up and fight for our very existence. The life that we know and have enjoyed is not free. Freedom is not free, and it's very upsetting to see our freedom being threatened through criminal means. And the election fraud, yes, it is blatant, it is extensive. We're hearing numerous accounts of it, and all of the attempted cover-up or distractions from it. And I think we just need to really pay attention and assert ourselves and hold our elected officials' feet to the fire to demand the representation that we elected them to provide for us. And again, it's just a matter of being a strong citizen and having that righteous indignation and demanding a better performance and not allowing our freedom to just be sold down the river by selfish crooks who want their power and their hookup politically. They're there in office to represent us, and we have to ensure that they do that or get rid of them. And that takes a little bit of work, a little bit of asserting ourselves, but that's how it's supposed to run. People sacrifice their lives to defend that, and people lose their lives fleeing other countries to get here to enjoy that. So we have to recognize how precious and valuable that culture is that we enjoy, and that's what we're all struggling for. There's the tyrants and oppressors, the would-be oppressors that are fighting to get control, to take that away from we, the American people. And then there are the patriots fighting to maintain that level of freedom. So the clash is that fever pitch, no doubt.
I want to take this conversation, actually, I want to take a right turn real quick and ask you a question. Over the weekend, or maybe it was last Friday, President Trump said, well, Michelle Obama said that she would never forgive President Trump for what he's done, you know, record economy, saving America. Michelle Obama will never forgive Trump for saving America. But President Trump said in response that he would never forgive former President Obama for what he did to the military. As someone who was in the military, served overseas, and obviously has a lot of great friends that are still in the military serving today, what did you make of that exchange? And what did you make of Trump's comment saying Obama depleted the military?
Well, leave it to the radicals to just tell things the complete opposite of how they really are. The facts bear out that President Trump has brought our economy back to a very strong degree, and our minority groups are enjoying greater employment numbers and percentages than ever in American history. Jobs are returning, and all the stats, no matter how you look at it, are fantastic. So he's crushing it by any factual measure of standard. So the fact that they would falsely accuse him and try to tear him down is not surprising, but it is disappointing. Now, back to Obama. He had a demoralizing effect on our military. He used them for police rather than warriors. He undermined them. He falsely accused them. He caused them. He forced them to accept all manner of perversion and humiliation that was not becoming or professional to professional military warrior ranks. And so it's really laughable that anybody would try to attack President Trump for rebuilding our military. Clearly, the military were underfunded over the past decade, and now they are having to be rebuilt and have their budgets restored, restore the training, restore the equipment and upgrade so that we are capable of fighting a legitimate fight to defend our people and our homeland. So I think it's just laughable. The radicals on the far left will stop at nothing to push their false rhetoric and accusations. And the facts refute what they claim. And so it's just kind of disappointing to see people stoop to that level. And it's more disappointing to see a percentage of the American people fall for it and not be able to see through it and look at the facts and see themselves what the truth is and shake off the fake accusations and the lies.
That's right. And if you look at the graphs, the same graphs that show unemployment dropping to record lows, the same graphs that show the economy GDP going up at record highs, I think if you could put that same type of line graph on military morale, it basically looked the same. It was sinking under Obama, and then under Trump, just boom, you know, shooting up to, you know, record levels, if you will, in recent memory. All right, Craig Sawyer's with us for one more segment. Craig, I do want to get a brief talk about what's going on right now with your documentary and how someone tried to sabotage the great work you were doing to save children that are in the sex trade. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Sawyer, the Sawman here with me on air. VetsForChildRescue.org is his website where he's been doing great work. Working with law enforcement, working with other veterans, working, I don't know how much I can say here, but let's just say internationally in other countries to do stuff to save kids as well. And he's with us for one more segment. Craig, before we get into what you've been dealing with, shocking stuff. I mean, you're just trying to stop kids from being trafficked, and you have to deal with sabotage and all kinds of obstacles. We can get to that in a minute. But there's all of these stories breaking in less than the last 2 years. I mean, huge, huge child sex trafficking bust from Florida to Texas to California. I mean, we're talking about dozens of children saved. We're talking about hundreds of arrests here, and it's like it never even makes the news, Craig. I mean, what do you make of the fact that, A, we are having these massive sex ring busts, many of them including young children, even infants, that we're having these busts, but then B, why doesn't it get any coverage?
Well, it's a great question, and we've been asking it all along. We can only speculate as to the real answer. You know, we feel like that too many of those who own the major news networks are complicit or covering for their friends who are complicit. I would like to be part of an investigation that goes specifically after the mainstream media to find out what these relationships are and why they won't tell us. But look, if you love people, if you love the American people, you want them empowered. If you had, Owen, a rattlesnake behind you, I would yell out to you and warn you, look out, there's a rattlesnake coiled behind you. Why? Because you'd be in danger. Now, you would want me to notify you so you can move away from and not get bit and poisoned. And same thing with a rabid dog in the neighborhood. Wouldn't a neighborhood watch put out a headline or an alert? Hey, you know, be aware, safeguard your kids. There's a rabid dog in the neighborhood, or even a pedophile or child predator. At the local level, we try to alert each other. Well, nationally,
I want to be clear, though, about something you said here, Craig. I want to be clear about something you said here. You know, you talk about you want an investigation of the mainstream news. I'm not saying Jim Acosta is a pedophile. We're not saying people on television are pedophiles. All I'm saying is if Jim Acosta is willing to tell you he never touched that woman, even though anybody that was in the room saw it, anybody that can watch the film saw it, what else will Jim Acosta tell you or not tell you? How else will CNN and these other mainstream news networks make sure that you don't see the truth? So it's all about knowing they have no integrity and then applying that to the question, why won't you cover massive child sex ring busts?
Yeah, and it's not always up to the spokesperson with the microphone. You know, there's a larger agenda with these news organizations. So, I'm all about freedom of speech and the First Amendment. But what goes on with these major news networks, it goes beyond that to a straight up treason situation or direct undermining of the president and our elected officials and what they're doing. So it's ugly, man. I think there needs to be some accountability. I think a lot of these major network executives need to be investigated and find out why they're pushing such a nasty, hostile, and false agenda that undermines our country. You know, what's that all about? What's behind it? Why would they be motivated to that degree?
Absolutely. And of course, we know that there's going to be a lot of ties to the CIA. That came out in the Frank Church hearings. But Craig, when you started this journey a few years ago, I believe, vetsforchildrescue.org, you started putting together work for a documentary as well. And it was all about, again, raising awareness to the sex trafficking that's going on so that parents and the communities can be more informed. And then also literally boots on the ground to try to stop these things from happening. I mean, you can get into your personal situation with this if you want, but when you embarked on this journey, you have dealt with stuff, sabotage, you know, not being able to fund. I mean, all kinds of stuff. A, did you ever think that when you started to do this journey and this documentary, Contraland, to try to raise awareness for child sex trafficking and stopping it, A, did you expect to see the type of obstacles that you're enduring? And then B, talk about the latest one with your film.
Well, yes, Owen, we did expect resistance. But I'll admit, we were anticipating a different type of resistance and from a different group. What we've seen are people who are of weak morals or weak-minded basically losing their composure and kind of getting fixated on the money and for selfish reasons and undermining our mission for selfish purposes, seemingly. So, yeah, it's been strange, but I'll tell you what, it's also inspiring because every challenge that is thrown at this mission, there is a larger positive response by people standing up and saying that will not be allowed. This mission must prevail. It's too important. It's common sense. Look, if we as a species cannot defend and safeguard our own offspring, then we're doomed as a species. I mean, we can dumb it down all the way to that degree. We as a species have to be able to safeguard our own offspring. And that's really what we're talking about, is just stopping people from destroying the health and the mental capacity of children and even killing them in a lot of cases. A lot of these children kill themselves after what they're put through with child trafficking and pedophilia. So, man, we've got to defend the kids. And, yep, we've faced a lot of obstacles, but the light always prevails. And so while the challenges and the opposition is upsetting for a moment, it's more inspiring to see that it doesn't prevail each time, that the more people stand up and support, and there's always a bigger opportunity that replaces that which has failed or been brought against us. So that's been a journey that's been very enlightening and inspiring and encouraging for all of us involved. So, yeah, the producer that I hired to film our documentary hired a manager, and that manager basically led him into all kinds of criminal activity. And so we've turned that over to law enforcement authorities now. So FBI and Arizona State Attorney General and a local sheriff's department are investigating now. So we're going to press for maximum charges on every front because what they did to try to delay our mission and our production and slow roll us. And there's a bunch of other things involved. But since it's a legal case now, I won't go into too many details. But I'll say this, no sooner than we severed them and got their tentacles out of our operation, we were offered a much bigger opportunity by one of the most powerful and prevalent production companies in the industry. Good people that love what we do and are on board with the mission and want to see children safeguarded. And so we've got a larger opportunity to get the word out now, bigger than we would have. So
wow. It does seem like that's God's plan, yeah. Right? Right, Craig? It's always to put a big mountain in front of you that you just have to bore through to have victory.
Got to fight through it, brother, every time.
That's right. All right, Craig, thank you so much again for joining us today on this Veterans Day. We're honoring veterans today. We don't give them enough credit, Craig. Thank you. God bless you and the great work you've done. VetsForChildRescue.org, folks. VetsForChildRescue.org. It's new film, Contraland, coming up. Craig, the Saul Man Sawyer, always great to have you. All right, we'll be right back. I got video clips and news I want to get to you, folks. The Democrats are getting ready to subpoena.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Warning, this broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, I've got the latest breaking news here when it comes to Dr. Jerry Corsi. The Democrats are getting ready to indict a ham sandwich. It could be a turkey sandwich. It could be a bologna sandwich. It could be a nothing burger. Democrats will indict it. You know, I'm going to try to remain calm right now. But I mean, what do you do when you have such a power establishment, such a power elite, that will use the force, will, and power of the FBI to destroy anybody they want? All they have to do, make up some story that never happened, and they know it never happened, call in a bunch of people for questioning, question him for hours, weeks, days, months. In Corsi's case, it was 2 months. And all they have to do is find one thing that you said that doesn't corroborate with someone else's story or what you said previously. Boom. They're moving in to destroy your life. And if that doesn't make you angry as an American, you're already dead. And that's what they're trying to do right now. Not just to Corsi. Corsi's just the latest name. And it doesn't mean that these people are perfect. Doesn't mean Paul Manafort was perfect. Yeah, they had him on some real stuff. Doesn't matter. They brought him in to destroy him because he's an associate with Trump. They're going to arrest and bring down men, subpoena men, indict men, put them to jail for something they all know never even happened. That's how sick these people are, folks. And it is a miscarriage of justice beyond, it's treason to the fullest extent. And I'm telling you, if we don't do something about this in the next couple years, folks, you know, what do you got? You got a banana republic? They'll just arrest anybody because they just say they want to, and they'll find some way to arrest you. That's all they have to do. You know, they don't even care. There's no justice. The FBI, CIA, what the hell is going on over there? Where the hell is President Trump, by the way? You know, and I'm talking to some people that it's just ridiculous. Like, there's this whole thing where I don't really know the nature of this audience when it pertains to this, but it's like if you say anything bad about Trump, like all these conservatives immediately like, oh, hell with you. You're against the movement now. You're off the train. It's like, no, you call it how you see it. And as far as I can see, President Trump hasn't done a damn thing to stop this rogue FBI and this rogue special counsel. He even admits it. He's like, yeah, I'm not touching it. I'm not stopping it. So they're just going to continue to indict and subpoena and arrest anybody they want until it's you. You say, oh, that's crazy. Me, I don't even do politics. Well, guess what? They'll come for you in 50 years because you voted Trump. Or you went to Trump Tower and had a martini. They'll find a ham sandwich sitting on the bar at Trump Tower. They'll bring that in for questioning. That's how ridiculous this has become. Oh, meanwhile, they're just literally stealing the elections. Oh, my gosh. It's just insane. I've been bad today. I've barely even plugged. I've been on air almost 3 hours. I've barely even plugged. We're not going to be around tomorrow if I don't plug. Because guess what? They're going to probably try to pull some crap here, try to subpoena InfoWars or indict us for, you know, who knows what. So that'll be another $500,000 we have to spend on a lawsuit. Just, you know. So anyway, though, it's okay. It's okay because we've got the products that you need at InfoWarsStore.com. Water filters, air filters. You got to have that in your house. In fact, it's amazing. People come over to my house and they're like, wow, it's always smells fresh in here. And it's like, well, that Alexa Pure air filter takes away all the stank. You got a pet, you have a dirty kitchen, whatever the case may be. The air filter is so strong, it cleans out those toxins and those odors in the air too. It's amazing. The Alexa Pure Breeze. And then you've got a special 50% off right now on the Alexa Pure water filter. That's the Alexa Pure Pro water filter. That's 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And those are two items that are kind of heavy, so it's expensive to ship. Well, right now for a limited time offer, free shipping store-wide. Free shipping store-wide. So for a larger, heavier item like the Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system on sale for 50% off or the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter. Heavier items, we are giving free shipping right now, so you're saving a bunch of money on shipping. So I would say now's the time with Christmas. You know, it's Black Friday around the corner. Christmas is going to be here before you know it. Take advantage of free shipping. Take advantage of these specials. Get some Christmas gifts. I mean, a water filter, you know, it's not even political. An air filter, it's not even political. You just say, hey, look, I just got you a great water filter. Drink clean water. Get clean air. It's a great gift. Free shipping right now. So it saves you a bunch of money. We even got 35% off the Electrapure Breeze air filter right now. And then while you're at it, throw in some colloidal silver. I had someone text me in the break, Owen, talk about the importance of vitamin D during the winter months when vitamin D is well known. I mean, you know, it's one of the main things in orange juice. You drink it, you make sure you don't get sick. And vitamin C, these are the vitamins you need. But we have winter sun at InfoWarsStore.com. Someone's like, why aren't you talking about winter sun? It's great for the winter. Yes, 110%. Winter sun, I just picked up my winter sun for the winter season as well. And it's great for multiple reasons. A, it's great because it can give you the vitamin D supplement to help fight the colds and the flus and everything that goes around in the winter. But then the other great thing about it is you're not getting much sun. You can tell I don't get much sun, but you know, that's a whole nother thing. But the sun isn't out. It's, you know, dreary during the winter. It's always overcast. You're not getting the vitamin D that you need from the sun. So you're already depleted in vitamin D during the winter because you're not getting the good rays from the sun, the vitamin D from the sun. But then also it's increased flu season, increased cold season and all that stuff. So it's like a double whammy. You're depleted on vitamin D, plus there's more disease out there and it's cold, so your immune system is a little beaten. But that's why winter sun is so amazing. And look at the 5-star reviews, the hundreds of 5-star reviews for yourself at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, final thing though. With coupon code WARROOM, you can get your brand new InfoWars Hexagon logo hoodie for $10 off. $10 off, whether it's the pullover or the zip up. With coupon code WARROOM at checkout, you can get yours for $10 off. It's already becoming a fan favorite here around the office. It's barely been out long enough yet to really make its way out to the audience so that I can see it next time I do a big protest or there's some big event like that, but I think this is going to be the big one. The pullover, the zip-up, it's the InfoWars Hexagon logo hoodie. Both are available right now with coupon code WARROOM. For $10 off. So get there before it's on back order. Okay. I've got some final stuff to cover here on the other side of this break coming up in the War Room. But it's crazy, folks. I mean, this is, I don't even think, you know what? We won't even know what this will be called in the long run. You know, we're just trying to relate to history. The Third Great Awakening, the Second American Revolution, but this is beyond that. You've got globalism failing worldwide, so the globalists are taking their masks off and now saying it's bad to even have a country. You voted for Brexit, too bad, suck it. But it doesn't matter because the votes are still, the populism is on the side of nationalism, and the more they expose themselves, the more nationalism becomes popular. But it doesn't mean they're not going to try to steal the elections like they have done in Spain, like they've done in England, like they're doing now in the United States. And it doesn't mean they're going to use the power of their corrupt governments, like in the FBI and the CIA, to try to destroy people's lives. That's what's going on right now.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Well, MSNBC's Ari Melber. Yeah, I know you've never heard of him, but he works at MSNBC. He's got a little show he does. Literally, this audience is bigger than his. But that's why they had to erase us off of all of the different social medias so that we couldn't actually prove to you via all the different numbers that we have live on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and then on our own site and everywhere that we were actually bigger than MSNBC. So they had to shut us down so we couldn't show you that in real time. But that's okay, Ari. You know, you're a little loser over there in the ratings every month. Look at what was spotted, though, behind MSNBC's live broadcast. Do we have those guys? Oh, it's an InfoWars.com t-shirt, forbidden information. Wow. Boy, I hate it when that happens. Let me tell you, nothing makes me more upset than an InfoWars t-shirt on national TV. Especially if it's behind a CNN or MSNBC broadcast. I mean, whoa. Shut down the broadcast. We got an InfoWars tee on television. It's kind of like when Rob Dew and I went to the Rangers game, and they never go to the angle behind home plate ever for baseball. They did every time after we had an InfoWars shirt get on television. So they hate those InfoWars t-shirts going on TV. Oh, the InfoWars army is out for sure. College basketball season's around the corner. They love the television angle behind the basket. Mmm. Ooh. It'd be a shame if there was like a big Alex Jones face floating in the crowd as the man took a free throw, or a big InfoWars.com banner as the guy's lining up for the big shot, the big free throw at the end of the game. So I don't know this gentleman that has the InfoWars.com t-shirt on in the background there, but I salute him. And folks, that's how you break the matrix. You get the message out there. They want to ban us. So we go out and we get on their streams and we go out into the real 3D world. Some clips I'm not going to be able to get to today. Greg Reese is doing excellent reporting right now on the state of Iran. That's at InfoWars.com. Antifa attacks restaurants, American flag mural, asks what is there to be proud of. Was unable to get to that. There was some ambassador that fell asleep during an address in France, and Trump shot him a hilarious look of disgust. Trump is basically running the world now. These people are just, see, they're all just such cowards and frauds and marionettes that Trump just has to be a real man to run laps around these people. That's really all it took. But you have to understand something that Macron did this weekend that most people are going to miss. When Macron gave his nationalism is the enemy of patriotism, nationalism is the enemy of good, that was a direct shot at President Trump. And let me tell you, that schmarmy little you-know-what sitting there shaking Trump's hand, glad-handing Trump, acting like he's good with Trump, total phony. And Trump now knows it, because when Macron went up and he gave his little nationalism is the enemy of the world speech, that was a direct shot at Trump. What did President Trump say last week that went viral? I'm a nationalist. I love nationalism. I'm an American. It's good to be nationalist. That's not a bad thing. So when Macron came out and gave this speech saying nationalism is the enemy of the world, that was a direct shot saying Trump is the enemy of the world. Do not be confused. When Macron said nationalism is the enemy of patriotism, nationalism is our biggest threat, he meant Trump. But instead of saying Trump, he says nationalism. Yeah, whose story is that? Macron takes implicit dig at Trump denouncing nationalism. That's Politico. Hey, Politico finds, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Politico has this one 100% correct, folks. Macron saying nationalism is the enemy of patriotism is 100% Macron saying Trump is the enemy. But see, you don't. See, these people are so dumb. He thinks by saying nationalism that the average person is then going to relate that to Trump and hate Trump. But Trump's dumb. He dummy. He won't get my reference. No, he got it loud and clear, you little, you know what, Frenchie. So Macron just made his bed this weekend by saying Trump is the enemy of the world. So good luck, France. You're screwed. You know what's funny? There were some French journalists documenting the elections here in Texas that were making fun of me for Trump and making fun of me for wanting to make sure election laws followed. And they're sitting here laughing at me, these French journalists laughing at me, sucking down their soy lattes. And I'm like, you know what, bud? Why don't you go back to Paris where there's a damn riot every frickin' night? Why don't you go back to France where you have tent cities and your towns are being destroyed? Why don't you go back to France where you literally have a max amount of money you can make at work? That's France. And they tax you like 90%. So you can only make X amount of money per month, and then they tax like 90% of it. Yeah. Yeah. Good luck living in France, Frenchie. Go sip another soy latte. So you have that going on. But let me close out. And again, well, that's fine. Let me just hit the rest of this news before I sign off. Weinstein's secret weapon is a bloodhound NYPD detective turned private eye. Now, this is interesting because Weinstein, while in no stretch of the imagination innocent in this deal, Weinstein, though, is actually, it appears to be fighting back because he knows the whole thing is political and he knows every other Hollywood scumbag has done what he's done or even worse. So now he feels like a victim and he is trying to turn the watchdog back onto Hollywood and the people accusing him. Boy, let me tell you, you already have Rose McGowan go rogue, which I predicted first. Harvey Weinstein might go rogue next. So Rose McGowan basically found out that the whole Me Too movement was a fraud a couple months in, and so she kind of abandoned it as far as like the cause celeb, but is still on it as far as the Hollywood disgust and filth and rape and everything. But imagine if Weinstein decides to try to turn the tables on these people and say, hey, look, you want to burn me for what we were all doing? I'll burn your ass too. Oh boy, is that going to be interesting. And you still have the one girl who's being questioned from the sex cult that's kind of never really materialized yet. Yeah, there it is right there. Rose McGowan slams Hollywood and Time's Up Me Too as bullcrap. They're a lie. I think some of these people in Hollywood are going to catch up to this, folks. Now, some of them are too stupid to get it. Some of them are involved in it. But others that feel used by it, like Weinstein and McGowan, are starting to turn the tables. All right. This is kind of an ongoing story. Mysterious music plaguing several South Jersey communities in middle of night leaves authorities perplexed. So this thing is still developing. This has been investigated for like a month now. Strange noises, strange music even, and the FBI has been involved. Local law enforcement's been involved. They have no idea what is going on. So it's always fun to me just to touch a little bit on the paranormal here on the War Room because it is out there. And I mean, my God, the politics will just drive you nuts. Wall Street Journal, Hillary will run again. Well, here's the deal with Hillary Clinton. It's like a no-brainer for her to win. A, she might as well run again as a sacrificial lamb of the Democrat Party because there is nobody that can beat Trump. B, she has billions and billions and billions of dollars in all of these charities and PACs and all this stuff that she can only access if she's running for office. So she'll run again so she can basically steal all that money. But then the other angle, which is the new angle, she has to run to avoid indictment. So now Hillary's going to run figuring that will avoid her getting indicted and getting arrested and ending up in jail. So that's why you're starting to hear mainstream news really come out as Sessions is out and Whitaker is in. This is Hillary trying to avoid indictment running again. She thinks that will keep her above the law. Now, this just broke in, I think this is ABC News. Yeah, special counsel witness says he expects to be charged in Mueller probe. It's all about Corsi. He talks about how he's set up. He talks about how he tried to cooperate with these people, but he believes he's going to go to jail and they're going to destroy his life. Just like they've done with Flynn, just like they've done with Manafort. Now, here's my thing. I'm not saying that these men are perfect. I'm not here defending their record. They can do that. I'm here to defend the truth. I'm here to defend justice. And it's a dereliction of truth and justice what's happening now with this Russia probe. And you've also got stuff going on in the Gaza Strip right now, more bombs blowing up. You know, I've had people say, hey, you need to look more into that. And I kind of did. I got to tell you, it seems awfully convenient that every missile that ever goes up in the Gaza Strip gets blown up by Israel. Where are these missiles coming from, and how do they blow up every single one? Is the whole thing a big staged act? Possibly. All right, I sign off. We'll be back live tomorrow, 8 a.m. with David Knight. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.